Welcome to the Sermon Podcast for All Saints Lutheran Church. I am Matthew Reese, the Director of Music Ministries. All Saints is located in Davenport, Iowa, and is a member congregation of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Each week, we bring you a recording of the gospel lesson and sermon. Thank you for joining us on this journey of faith.
The gospel for this Sunday, according to John, beginning with the first chapter at the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through Him, and without Him, no one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. That is, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came into what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen this glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses, grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father, who has made him known to us. This is the gospel of the Lord."
Thanks be to God. Christ.
Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. My wife and I moved to the Quad City area many years ago from Des Plaines, Illinois. You may know that's a Chicago suburb. Before we lived in downstate Illinois, myself in Springfield, my wife in Whitehall, and we attended college there as well. One lesson we immediately learned living here is that Iowa and Illinois are very different states, even though they're neighbors to each other right across the Mississippi River. Illinois has a very diverse character, strongly influenced by that axis between Chicago and St. Louis that runs through the state. While Iowa, it has a bit of a more rural character, and it sort of sticks together better. There are many differences, of course, other differences. Too often it seems the only commonality between the two states is an aversion to snow, ice, and the sub-zero temperatures of winter. And nowhere will you find that difference between Iowa and Illinois more apparent than in the arena of politics. Illinois manages political processes largely through closely knit organizations, often described as machines. Candidates for office may be named and issues settled in closed-door meetings between strong party leaders. Iowa, on the other hand, has no machines, and often it seems that every candidate is out there on its own. Iowa candidates stand more on their merits or political ideology rather than representing one political organization or the other. I learned about how Illinois and Iowa political differences that first year we lived here. The presidential caucus of 1980 was well underway. And one day I happened to read in the newspaper that George McGovern, the U.S. Senator and former presidential candidate, would meet with individuals at a home in Davenport. Well, I thought, I'm going to go to that meeting. And when I got there, I found McGovern sitting on a chair in front of a fireplace. He spoke to anyone who happened to stop by and speak with him. I couldn't believe it. That sort of thing, well, it just can't happen in Illinois. We never saw candidates for high office in the flesh discussing issues with ordinary voters. Instead, Illinois candidates largely appeared at large rallies or on the television. They never sat leisurely in the living room of a house in Decatur or Quincy or Belleville or Peoria. It just didn't happen. There were too many people. It was too large an area. I will tell you, though, seeing someone in the flesh changes your whole perception of that person and the political process, too. Watching a candidate drive by in a motorcade or deliver a speech in front of hundreds or even thousands of people doesn't reveal much about that person's individual values, character, or thought processes. Person-to-person contact reveals an individual as nothing else does. In the flesh counts. Let's tie this into our lesson, our gospel for this Sunday. A line in the text deserves special attention, and it reads like this: "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." John says God's Word became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. He adds, we see God's glory in Jesus. Though fully human, God reveals his word and glory in the person in the flesh of Jesus. But we might ask ourselves, well, what does that mean, in the flesh? The gospel concludes with these words: the law indeed was given through Moses, but grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. No one ever has seen God. It is God, the only Son, as the Son who is close to the Father's heart, who makes himself known to us. God discloses himself and his purpose in Christ. Reading this passage from the Gospel of John, we notice a difference from the other three Gospels. Mark, for example, really says nothing at all about the birth of Jesus, while Matthew and Luke have a lot to say about Jesus' birth in two stories heavy on narrative description. We learn about the wise men and the shepherds, a manger and a barn in Bethlehem. It's the stuff of Christmas cards that are made of. It's a very special, visual, appealing, emotional account of how Jesus was born that we find in Matthew and Luke. The Gospel of John, however, sets aside the description of the birth of Jesus in favor of a very dramatic, overarching, significant statement of God's intention to act through Jesus Christ. The Gospel begins with these words: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." This opening line soars. It reaches back to the very beginning of creation. The trumpet fanfare from the movie 2001 Space Oddity could very well be played as we read these words from John. You may recall the Stanley Kubrick film 2001 Space Odyssey. That movie told the story of American space travelers drawn towards a new understanding, not only of this universe, but of humankind as well. The late film critic Roger Ebert summarized the film's plot this way. Ebert wrote, "What Kubrick is saying, apparently, is that man will eventually outgrow his machines or be drawn beyond by some cosmic awareness. He will then become a child again, but a child of an infinitely more advanced race. just as apes once became, to their dismay, the infant stage of mankind. Kubrick, like the 19th century philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, believes humanity will progress or evolve to a new and higher state of being, and in that process leave behind the need for God in that process. I'm very fond of the American theologian Reinhold Niebuhr, and he once had a very different assessment of human potential. And here is what Niebuhr wrote. He said, "We have, or we ought to have learned, particularly from the tragedies of contemporary history, that each new development of life, whether individual or social in terms, presents us with new possibilities of realizing good right here in history. But we also face new hazards on each level, that are new levels, and that the new levels of historic achievement offer us no emancipation from the contradictions and ambiguities to which all life in history is subject." What Niebuhr is arguing is this. He argues we never outgrow our humanness and our imperfections. The capacity for good and for evil grow with each other. We build better weapons and greater medicines simultaneously. We remain both creative and destructive, redeemed and sinful. And therefore, we require forever the redemption of God. Martin Luther once said that we are sinful and justified at the same time. And for this reason, we gladly hear God's word and purpose are made flesh for us in Jesus Christ. Friedrich Nietzsche, that 19th century philosopher, and Stanley Kubrick, the 20th century filmmaker, and others like them, pin their hopes for humanity evolving to a higher state. As Christians, on the other hand, we recognize our need for God, His grace, and redemption. Here and now, in the flesh, we'll always need that. God enters our world through Jesus Christ. He takes flesh because He understands the need for redemption in a real and tangible way. The Apostle Paul wrote these words in his letter to the Ephesians. He said, "With all wisdom and insight, God made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, and He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fulfillment of time to gather up all things in heaven and things on earth." In the flesh, proclaims God, takes seriously our redemption in the present. He does so in a direct, clear, and unambiguous statement in the person of Jesus Christ. There's nothing abstract or theoretical nor impossible about what is expected of us. God reveals through Jesus Christ in the flesh what it truly means to be a child of God. We can see it with our own eyes, and we can see it in ourselves. So beginning this year, we offer thanks. God reveals His grace to us in Christ Jesus and destines us to be His children through this revelation. You know, we can't see God, and we can't receive salvation without God. But by believing, God makes Himself known in the flesh of Jesus Christ. We have been marked by the Holy Spirit and destined to receive our redemption through Him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. It is our prayer that this podcast is a blessing to you on your journey. For more information about All Saints, please visit us online at allsaintsdavenport.org. May God bless you this week and always.